Before we get started, let me just pray for us to open our minds, our hearts, our souls to what God has to say. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would quiet the noise of the enemy of our soul and not permit him to speak during this time. Instead, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak, that we would hear from you. Pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. I said earlier that we support five international workers, families around the world, and two of them are the Laos, Soot and Sina Lao, and I know not all of you get their updates, but their update this month wrecked me in a good way. And I was reading through it, and they told the story of this woman named Noun, who she got really, really sick and almost died. And the church came around her and prayed over her, and all of a sudden she miraculously turned around and she got better. And everybody was rejoicing, they were excited, and then as they were interacting with one another, this woman, Fee, started talking, and she said, you know, some of you know that I gave my life to Christ a while back, but what you don't know is that before I came into a relationship with Jesus Christ, I practiced black magic. I cast spells and cursed people. And she turned a Noun and said, I'm the reason you are sick. I cursed you. I asked my evil friends to hurt you, to disparage you, to cause you to die. See, Fee had lived in the home that Noun now lived in. She had lived there for a while, and the landlord sold the house to Noun's family, and Fee had to leave, and she was angry that she lost her house. And so she cursed Noun. And she turned to Noun and she said, when the church prayed for you, and I saw your God heal you, I realized that the spirits that I was interacting with weren't as powerful as your God. And I wanted your God, not mine. And she prayed to receive Christ. They were all blessed. And this morning, we're in the series on worship. And we've been looking at words in the Old Testament, a series of different words in the Old Testament, how we interact with God. Generally, oftentimes in Christendom, and especially in America, we interchange the word worship with singing. And for the Hebrews, it was way more than that. It was bigger than that. There were more aspects to it than that. And so we've been looking at these aspects from the Old Testament. And the first word we looked at a couple weeks ago was yada, or to lift up our hands before God. It was a concept of surrendering to God, and then also praising him. So we yield and we praise, right? And then last week we looked at shabach, which is to bow, to lay flat before the God, to submit ourselves to God in every way, shape, and form. Physically, and our physical actions are tied to our spiritual and mental emotions. We're all connected in that way. And so the physical act of kneeling or bowing down before God is showing God and others that we love him, we care about him, and we serve him. Consequently, our Muslim brothers and sisters wipe the floor with us in this regard, because they bow down to God five times a day. This morning, we're going to talk about worship, and our word for this morning is barach. Everybody say it with me, barach. All right, it's close. We'll get there. The Hebrew script is up here before you, and then the transliteration is barach or barach. And the meaning is to kneel, to bless, to be blessed, to praise. That's the concept here. And we're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 15 this morning. Psalm chapter 15. And just to give you a little bit of background about Psalm chapter 15, Psalm chapter 15 is one of the Passover praise passages. So Psalm 113 to 118 were the psalms that would be recited or sung during Passover. So this is one of them. So we just celebrated Good Friday and Easter. So imagine Jesus sitting around with his disciples on the night of Passover, which became the Last Supper for you and I, those of us who follow Christ. And imagine them sitting around. They would have sung this passage of scripture that night. And so they're literally singing a fulfillment of what we're about to read, which is really cool. So Psalm chapter 15. Starting in verse 1. Let us read. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but your name be glory. Because of your love and faithfulness, why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him, but their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but can't feel, feet but can't walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The house of Aaron trusts in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. He is their help and their shield. He is their help and their shield. So let's just look at this for a second. First, there is no other God. They're confessing, not us. There's nothing about us that makes us special other than the fact that we worship you, the true God, right? Their gods were adorned with all different kinds of gems and gold and silver, but there was literally nothing to them. They had gems all over them, but they couldn't see. They burned incense and spices to their gods, but their gods couldn't smell. They put chains on some of the statues of their gods to make sure that they don't go anywhere, and their kingdoms still fell. Why? Because their gods aren't real. They can't speak, and they can't declare that their God is above all other gods because the Hebrew God is above all other gods. So those who make them will be like them. Some of the gods that they worshiped had attitudes and tempers, and then likewise the people who worshiped them ended up with similar attitudes. The Israelites here, though, however, they followed the priest and the household of Aaron, and Aaron's priests worshiped God. And then here also it says, so we will trust in God, the true God, our protector. The concept here is beyond just the Hebrews, there will be those who come in the future who will worship God as well. So go back to the story of Phi and Noun, and they're sitting around. They're interacting with one another, and you've heard this story of Fee's life literally being transformed and changed because she saw the one true God do the miraculous in front of her. And what continues in this process is once you've experienced the power and the strength of the one true God, you can't help but submit to that God. And she repented and she turned to God. But the beautiful part of this whole story is that she then turns and asks Noun to forgive her for casting that spell upon her. And Noun's response wasn't to get angry, to star him off. Her response was, I know what God has done for me. So she responds with, I forgive you. And they hug, and the whole room broke into tears. Because the God the Israelites worshipped is real. And he has barached us, blessed us. Let's continue. There's three aspects to this that I want to hit this morning, and I want to look at them kind of quickly and then get to the response here. But in verse 12, it says, "The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people, Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great. He will bless them." The Lord remembers us, it says here. He has blessed us before, and he'll do it again. He's not done. The concept was continual. When we serve God, he continues to bless us. He'll bless you now, and now, and now, and now, and now, regardless of whether or not we understand the circumstance we're in. He will bless. That's his nature. It's who he is. And so those who worship him will and can and always will get blessed. And then it says small and great. And I love that it starts with small and not with great, because we elevate people. We give them positions of authority. So the small and great here has to do with what man sees, and God sees the small in the eyes of man first and says, you will be blessed. And the ones who man says great, God says, I'll bless you too. My blessing is for all, regardless of sex or race or demographic or poverty or wealth. It does not matter. If you worship God, you will be blessed. Early on, when I was a youth pastor, there was a retired pastor who was at our church. His name was Pastor Jay Smith, and he was wheelchair-bound. And we are a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance that believes in four things in regards to Jesus. He is Savior. He died. He rose again to save us, to restore us to our relationship with God. He is Sanctifier, actively walking with us and through us, changing and transforming us through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We do not do this alone. He's not just on his throne in heaven. He is walking with us knee deep in whatever junk we find ourselves in through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. He is Healer. And that healing can happen mind, body, soul, and physical. And he is coming king. One day he will restore all humanity in heaven, regardless of physical death here on this planet. And I believe that he is Healer. I've seen healings happen a lot in my life. And as a young person in ministry, I wanted nothing more than this saint in my mind. This guy Jay was a saint. I wanted nothing more than to see that man get up out of the wheelchair. Like, I wanted to see the miraculous. And I remember one time I was so convinced that God was like, I want you to pray for him and he's going to walk up out of that wheelchair. And so I went over to him and I was like, you know, Pastor Jay, can I pray for you? And he was like, sure, what do you want to pray about? And I was like, I wasn't sure if my faith was that strong, like I was putting it on me and not on God. And I said, man, I'd love to see you get up out of that wheelchair and walk. You're such a blessing. Like, I want to pray for you to walk. And he goes, can I tell you a story? I said, sure. So when I was little, I got polio. And that's why I'm in this wheelchair. And for a long time, I was on my deathbed. Like, there is no earthly reason why I should be alive. And my dad and others gathered around, and they prayed over me. And miraculously, above and beyond all medical knowledge, I was healed, Jeff. I'm alive. I should be dead. And so this wheelchair is a physical reminder that I'm not dead, I'm alive. I'm not bound to this, I'm blessed to have it. God has blessed me. This is a physical reminder of how much God has blessed me. And I'm going, but I want you to walk. And the reality was, I've already been blessed. And I'm okay with it. He died a couple years ago, and I know this beyond a shadow of doubt. He is dancing before the throne of God now. The continuation of that healing process has been happened. See, God blesses us regardless of whether or not we think our circumstance is a blessing. Because he cares about us and he loves us. And regardless of whether or not we're having a bad day or a good day, we're still blessed if we have a relationship with Christ. Let's continue. In verse 14, it says, "May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind." So as we continue in this passage, the ancients looked to their idols for fertility, for their crops, for all these different things. We don't need to do that. We only need to look to Creator God. He has adorned us with blessing. And so therefore, we bless others. He has blessed us. The natural response of interacting with a God who has blessed us is and should be us wanting to bless others. Others experiencing what we've experienced by being blessed by God. So may you be blessed, the psalmist responds. And just imagine this. In the Passover meal, and Jesus with his disciples, and they get to this point, and everybody's looking around at one another, and may you be blessed, and may you be blessed, and may you be blessed, and may you be blessed. May you receive the blessing of God. And when you understand that, you just can't help but want to bless others. There's this thing we do sometimes now, when somebody sneezes, we say, "It's all right, you can respond, I understand." We say, "Bless you, right? Bless you." Or maybe somebody might say, "God bless you," right? Historically, most people attribute that to the bubonic plague and the Pope initiating and telling the church when somebody sneezes, which was a sign that you might have the plague, you would say, "God bless you." And what you were really saying was, "I hope you don't die." We're in this global pandemic right now, and somebody sneezes and we go, "Not COVID." But we're all kind of experiencing this. It's kind of fascinating how the entire world is experiencing the same thing. That we've taken a lot of things for granted, and the things that we do have and the people that are in our life have become more valuable. And so when we see somebody that's hurting, because we were created by God, our natural desire is to say, "God bless you. You know, I don't want you to die." So I'm standing over my friend, Pastor Jay, in the wheelchair, and I'm praying for him, and he goes, "Jeff, I've been blessed. Can I bless you?" I had not a clue. I was a young person, thought I had it all figured out in ministry and in my relationship with God. I didn't have a clue of what it meant to really know God. And he says, can I bless you? And I say this sometimes and I forget that I'm not really making a whole lot. I say the phrase, and he threw down. And we just had a USC fight last night and they threw down, they engaged. There was combat. And when I say Pastor Jay threw down, I mean both from an offensive stance, telling the enemy he had no authority over his friend Jeff, and also asking the God of the universe to bless in every way, shape, and form me. I don't remember what he said. I just remember kneeling, and his hand was on my head, and there was water on the floor from my eyeballs. Because this man who understood what it meant to be blessed was then in turn blessing me. Let's keep going. Verse 17 to 18, this wraps up the story here. So God has blessed us, we're blessing others. Verse 17, it is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence, it is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Simply put, the dead can't praise God. It's your job. The dead can't praise him. You can. This extol word here is that word, barak. Bless him. Respond back. He has blessed you. Bless others. Now respond back to him and bless him back. That extension of internally in your soul bowing or kneeling before God and giving him the praise he's due, the one who created the heavens and the earth and everything that we see. There's a reason why we praise him. And then it lands with praise the Lord, and that is a different word for praise that we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks. So I really believe there's a couple different responses for us this morning. I want to look at them. How has the Lord blessed you? And in the frame that I explained to you, maybe you need to think a little more deeper on this. We have a tendency to go right to our physical needs. So we have what we have, or we don't have what we need. How has the Lord blessed you? And then in return, are you willing to bless others around you? Are you willing to extend not just the God bless you, trivial when somebody sneezes, but to really invest in people's life and barak them, bless them? And then in turn, are we willing to, based on all the blessing that we've received from God, are we willing to respond back to him and bless him back for all, any and all of the things of our lives and that God's blessed us with? Let's just take some time right now to do so. Maybe bow your head and close your eyes, not because you have to, but to keep us from distraction this morning. Lord, I know the enemy of our soul likes to point out all the bad. He may be even doing it right now in the hearts and minds of people here or watching online. That our circumstances are terrible, our relationships are hurting, and that's all there is to life. And the reality is that is untruth. So Lord, now I ask that our ears would hear, our minds would have understanding, our souls would respond. And the fact that we have been eternally blessed by you. So Lord, bring us to a place where we can brach you back, where we can bless you and thank you and praise you because of who you are and whose we are. In the powerful name of your Son, Jesus, amen.